those who are joining us online. It is good that we are all here together. And together we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. This is the reign of Christ Sunday, or Christ the King Sunday. We gather today knowing that today is the day we uplift and celebrate the reality that is Christ, always with us, always constant, amidst all the changes of the world. And today also marks the end of our liturgical calendar for this year. Next week is Advent, so we invite everyone afterwards to get out your fireworks and your kazoos and celebrate the new year. That's what today marks, is the new year, coming in to this new year, and we close it out knowing that Christ reigns in our lives now. So as we begin worship, we invite you all to stand if you are able, knowing if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you, and to turn and face the baptismal font. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning you created us in your image and placed us in a well-watered garden. In the desert you promised pools of water for the parched, and you gave us water from the rock. When we did not know the way, you sent the good shepherd to lead us to still waters. At the cross you washed us from Jesus' wounded side. And on this day, shower us again with the water of life. We praise you for your salvation through water. For the water in this font and for water everywhere. And we invite all those who name out loud or in silence the waters that have been prominent in your life. We give praise today for the water of the Pacific.
Columbia.
May we continue. Bathe us in your forgiveness, grace, and love. Satisfy all who thirst, and give us the life only you can give. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our living water, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Your friends, we know.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free.
Let us pray. O God of power and might, your Son shows us the way of service, and in him we inherit the richness of your grace. Give us the wisdom to know what is right and the strength to serve the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you. One God, now and forever. Amen.
And now we invite the children forward, but I'm not going to give a children's sermon today. The children are going to do that for us. He's getting us another mic. Oh, there we go. Without further ado.
All right. This is working now. Good. Okay. Well, a couple weeks ago, we had a lesson for the children about being acolytes and wearing the robes and the wearing the rope belt. And the robes came in different colors. And the children were curious what the different colors mean and when we wear them. And then we thought you all might be curious about the different colors and what time of year we wear them and what they mean. And so the children are going to tell you about the different liturgical colors in the Lutheran Church. And I'll start down here with Graham.
Green is used for the Sundays after Epiphany and Pentecost. It is sometimes called the ordinary time. Green indicates our growth in faith as we follow the teachings and ministry of Christ.
Purple symbolizes royalty in Advent. It is used to represent awaiting the In Lent, purple is used to suggest repentance, solemnity.
Red is for Pentecost and Reformation Sunday. Red is a power color. We remember the power and fire on the Lord.
Blue is used for Advent. Blue is used for symbolization. Blue, hope, and is after often associated with the Virgin Mary.
White is used at Christmas to represent the purity of the newborn Christ into our light and joy of him. White is also used for Epiphany, the baptism of our Lord and the transfiguration. White is used for the Sundays after Easter for the joy of resurrection and the purity of our forgiven sins. Pink rose. If pink and purple candles are used for Advent, pink is used on the third Sunday. The third candle is the shepherd's candle. The pink symbolizes joy and triumph as we transition from repentance. Repentance to celebration.
Thursday. Scarlet is the color of blood and it is associated with the passion. Gold. Gold is an optional color for Easter Sunday, plus Christ. The King Sunday, it represents value. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives our lives meaning and value.
Right. Thank you, kids. So. Some things I learned during this, preparing for this, that maybe is new to you too, and that in the church, red and scarlet are not the same, although we could maybe wear the same vestments, but they are not necessarily the same. And sometimes red and white can be used interchangeably. Sometimes red and scarlet can be used interchangeably. Sometimes scarlet and purple can be used interchangeably. But they all definitely have their seasons and their meanings, and so thank you. Well done.
We always pray together. So let us pray. On the count of three, we'll bring our hands together. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for being here
throughout the year.
Throughout the year. Amen.
All hail the power.
Genesis, the first reading of the day, chapter 34, Ezekiel 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be the prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Thanks be to God.
Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with songs. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand.
A reading from Ephesians chapter 1. Now hear the word. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for those who believe according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And you will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer, "Truly I tell you, just as you did to one of the least of those who are a member of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And when Jesus finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, it's good to be back amongst you. I was gone what seems like 2 weeks now, even though it was only one Sunday. But the best part of being away is coming back. And a special thanks again to Pastor Steve for filling in last week. I heard nothing but great things about his time amongst us. And we look forward to having him back in the future. One of the things that occurred while I was gone and out and about at all these conferences is we had a speaker, and we have actually had lots of speakers, but this particular speaker, while he was in the midst of what he was doing, asked us all to turn to the person to our right and to answer the following question. And the question was, what have you seen that you wish you hadn't seen, but now cannot unsee? And I sort of initially tried to keep from laughing, because after 18 years in the prison system, I've seen that there's too much that I can't unsee. And of that plethora of too many things, I really couldn't at that moment think of one thing. So I just tried to explain to the person to my right how prison is a very dehumanizing experience. And I say that with the utmost humility, knowing that for the incarcerated, is far more dehumanizing than for staff members. But anyone who enters a prison and works there for a day can feel the dehumanizing effect. And this text today served as a kind of a north star in my life, shining, giving me direction on how I could work in a prison. It set that north star that said, your job today is not just to keep everyone safe, not just to enforce all the rules, but to do so in a way that upholds everyone's human dignity as the best possible outcome. That doesn't mean we don't say no. That doesn't mean we might not have to have a fight. But it means whatever we did. I tried to do this to hold all of our wholeness and humanity together. And in the later life, later point in my career, I was in my office one late night, and at this point I was a relief lieutenant, so I just worked here and there whenever someone else was on leave, didn't have a permanent home, didn't have a permanent shift. I was just here for a couple of days. And a nurse walked into my office, very concerned about things she had been witnessing in the population. And it was her contention that there were some systems in place that were allowing some systemic abuse of some cruel abusive practices to exist in the prison, and wanted my advice on what to do. And she knew I was only going to be there a couple days, so she wasn't coming to me with answers. She was coming to me to talk. And through that conversation, I kind of directed her ways that she could appropriately approach this and report it up the chain of command for review. But in the midst of that discussion, this passage came back into this interview, and we spoke about this. And what did it mean for each of us individually if how we treated an incarcerated person was how we treated Christ? What we chose to do or not do, that was what we were doing to God. And that's the invitation today in our text. It's an invitation to see that Christ is in all of us, in all the world around us. And our encounter of Christ in the other reflects back very deeply on values. And our text also today points out that there are consequences for either seeing Christ in another or turning away from that other. But there's a slight problem in our interpretation of this, because we all in our minds go to what? This end of time scenario. And friends, if you were here 2 weeks ago, you heard me talk about the marriage feast. That's the text immediately before this text. And if you weren't here, shameless plug, you can go onto YouTube, you like and subscribe, it helps grow our channel. But last week, or 2 weeks ago, I said this marriage feast was not about the end of time. It was about the presence of God coming into our midst now, the wedding of the divine and the human, which is in Christ. We have the same problem or the same issue here. Christ says, when I sit in my glory, and my friends, the glory of God is not some final moment at the end of time in 1,000 years from now. All the Gospels are very clear on this. Christ comes into his glory on the cross. In that moment of defeat, in that moment of weakness, of shame, of victimhood, that is the moment when God comes into his glory in Christ Jesus. And it's on the cross that the world is judged. And it's on that cross, in that moment of defeat, that God wins victory for us. And if we reframe this passage to understand what Jesus is truly talking about, and that's why, friends, I read a little bit longer in our than what was printed in your bulletin. Because Jesus makes that prediction. After saying all these things, he told them, in 2 days is the Passover. The Passover is when the Messiah will be crowned king, and I will be crucified. And friends, if we think of that event, that great and terrible day of the Lord, as the prophets would talk about, where was Jesus? He was naked and not clothed. He was thirsty and not given drink. He was injured and sick, and no one helped him. He was in prison. His friends did not come to see him. He was a stranger put outside the city and hoisted on a cross for all the nations to see. And as our king was crowned in his glory, where were all his disciples? They were scattered. They were not there to see him. They were not there to give their friend comfort. And in that crazy final twist in the story, the only people on that day to show Jesus compassion were the soldiers who gave him something to drink when he cried out, "I thirst." So where's the sheep and goats on that day? The ending is a twist that we're not prepared for. My friends, this tale is not about a merit system to get into heaven. If it were, we would all be out. For none of us have loved everyone. None of us has cared for everyone. This is an invitation, an openness, invite to see that we are all endowed, have Christ in us. And what we do or don't do to that other, we do unto God. And there's some consequences to this. It's not heaven or hell, not in some sense of an eternal reward or punishment. That reality is here now in our lives. We read every day now of bombs going off in two parts of this world. Right? Well, I did a research project on how many current conflicts are going on in this world today. There's 110 armed conflicts. I know in America we only hear about two of them. But friends, there's plenty of hell to go around on earth. We don't need to put that off to the end of the world. And when we don't see Christ in the other, and we turn our back with indifference or cruelty, we create suffering. We create gnashing of teeth now. Be it in the prison system, where the staff can be cold-hearted and turn away, it creates gnashing of teeth. It can be in the bombs of the worlds that we've talked about. It can be in any page of any newspaper you open up. There is plenty of weeping and gnashing of teeth here. And what is the consequence on the other side when we see our humanity, or I should say, when we see our divinity in each other? When we reach out with love and compassion, when we care, we can create heaven here. Heaven is the place where the divine and the earth meet. That is the person of Christ, and that person is in you. And the invitation now is to see that in all the world, and to come and be the messenger of peace and hope and heaven out there. And that is why, friends, we are invited to this meal to be reminded every day that God is in us, Christ for us, and then to go back out into this world with the love of God and to share that love out. My friends, it is love that carries the day, not hate. It is the love of God on this cross, on the cross. For us and for the world with the feast. Amen.
Let us turn our hearts to God, our breath and life, as we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Holy God, from Christ we receive our call to feed, clothe, and welcome. Direct your church to respond to this call with faithfulness and generous love. Pray for the work of the ELCA World Hunger and partnerships with Global Feeding Ministries. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In Christ, the rock of our salvation, we are brought into union with all of creation, with mountains, seas, dry lands, and animals of the field. We seek your guidance and protection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In Christ, we know merciful judgment. Guide rulers of every nation in ways of humble leadership and wise decision-making. Allow aid to come to all who are underserved and care to any who are neglected. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In Christ, we feel the depth of your love and care toward us. Nourish all who hunger, connect any who are isolated, and surround all who experience rejection or abuse. We pray for those who suffer, especially Aaron, Kevin, Kelly, Clifford, Madeline, Twyla, Karen, Colin, Joe, Susan, David, Fran, Meredith, Paul, Mike, Helen, victims of the war in Ukraine and Israel, the earthquakes in Morocco, St. Timothy Church in Brookings, recovery efforts in Maui. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
In Christ, we are made the people of his pasture. Inspire the outreach and social ministries of this congregation. We pray for all people who serve and attend to the needs of others. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Holy God, in Christ we are welcomed home. We praise you for the faithful witness of those who have served you and extended your welcome and love to us. Unite us with them as one body of Christ. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We offer our spoken prayers and those held in our hearts, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. And I invite you all now to stand again as we sing our offering hymn. God of all goodness, generations have turned to you, gathered around your table, and shared your abundant blessing. Number us among them as we gather these gifts from your abundance and give thanks for your rich blessings. We may feast upon your very self and care for all that you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our sovereign and servant.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
You are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering therefore his command, we give thanks to you, O Lord. Not as we ought, but as we are able, we ask you to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servant, and these, your gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and may be formed to live as your holy people. To you, blessed Trinity, be all honor and glory in your church now and forever.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Gathered as one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on
This is Christ's table with the gifts of God for all people of God. And we invite all who come forward to receive at this table, and we will commune all who come to this table. We have gluten-free options available, and the liquid, the clear liquid is grape juice, the red liquid is wine. They will be offered to you in a moment. The usher will come. We ask you to fill in from left to right. And you can encounter the risen Christ in this sacrament by either standing or kneeling. But know that all are welcome to this table now. Amen.
My receive the living God.
and grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in this simple meal you have set a banquet. Sustain us on our journey. Strengthen us to care for the least of your beloved children. And give us glad and generous hearts as we meet you on the way.
Amen.
Now we pause for a moment for any announcements. If there are any announcements for the good of the order, Arnie's got a microphone.
Well, we're moving on into the Advent season, and I have a couple of possibilities if you would like to participate in the spirit of giving in our broader community. The first one is we hope to have a giving tree here at church with the wishes of 20 foster children on the tree. We hope to have the gift tags up this week. I was in contact with the Department of Human Services on Wednesday, and they said they tried to get us tags by midweek. So if you'd like to give a gift or get together with another family in church and together give a gift or a series of gifts to a foster child, that'll be available. Just please write your name on the paper that's by the tree so we know who took which tag and kind of keep track of that. And the other one is called a reverse Advent calendar. And I remember Jean Amundson talked to me about this, and she used to do this every year. You take a box and wrap it in paper or not, and every day of Advent, you put a shelf-staple item in the box. And I spent the big bucks on Etsy downloading a example of a reverse Advent calendar. You don't have to follow the example. Anything that you might have that's in your pantry that could be used by people to help with their food needs would be great. And on Christmas Eve or any time thereafter, if you bring your box of food and beverages and put it by the blue barrel, we'll see that it goes to the Newport Food Pantry. The Newport Food Pantry is not connected to Lincoln County to Food Share. It totally relies on food gifts from the community. So if you'd like to do the reverse Advent calendar, start December 1st and go through the end of Advent. Thank you.
We are putting together a nominating committee coming up for the annual meeting in January. So if you'd like to work on that committee, see myself or Randy, and we'll get you involved. If you don't want to get involved in that, then you're probably going to get elected.
Good morning to each and every one of you. My name is Jeanette Avery. I'm your financial secretary. And I have a few things I need to bring you up to date on. Please raise your hand if you can't hear me. I've been accused of having a very soft voice, but I think I'm shouting. So let me know. In the early part of November, Dan Moore gave us an eye-opening information about what our monies are used for as we make our offerings. And we followed that up by sending out pledge requests that we asked you to fill out for 2024. As of last Tuesday, 35 have been received. That means that there are a few of you that either have chosen not to make a commitment, or what I think has happened is that you have put this on your desk to do at a later time, and now there are 10 or 12 pieces of paper on top of that mixed together, and you don't have the slightest idea where that paper has gone.
They got me.
If that is you, then please look for that when you go home today. And even though this is the end of November, which the paper says that you should have them in by the end of November, as long as you get them in by next Sunday, it will be great. The committees that are working on the budget and on the nomination committee also need this information to make our plans for 2024. Can you believe it's going to be 2024?
No.
So give them, either give them to the office or give them to me, and we'll see that they get into the computer. Let's see. Well, as Pete mentioned that the council is going to have a nominating committee for next year. There are some officers that need to be have new people in them. And I hope that when you are asked, because you will be asked, when you are asked, please say, oh, I would be glad to do that job, and do it enthusiastically. Let's see, I'm going to look at my notes here for a minute. Next month, December, we will be sending out a confirmation of pledges form for you. You don't have to do anything with it except look at it, see that it's correct. What it shows is what you have pledged for next year. Now, I want to be sure that it gets into the computer correctly. There will be a congregational meeting in January so that you can approve or disapprove the budget and or the nominations that have been suggested. I hope you all had a happy and blessed Thanksgiving this last week, and that you continue praying for this congregation, because it's one of the greatest. Thank you very much for listening, and I thank you much.
Do we have any more? Doesn't look like it. I got a couple really brief ones. Just a reminder that this Wednesday is our evening book club opportunity. So Wednesday at 5, if you'd like to come and discuss this book we read by Richard Rohr, called Falling Upward. If you have not already read it, you've got till Wednesday, get the Cliff Notes. Come for the discussion, come for the fellowship, 5 o'clock here and on Zoom. And then again, as believe it or not, next Sunday starts Advent. So we invite you to bring Christmas desserts and enjoy setting up and decorating the tree after service in the fellowship hour. And with all those announcements, let us pause and prepare our hearts for the benediction. May the God of all creation, in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved, who strengthens us for service, give you reason to rejoice and be glad. The blessing of God, the Sovereign and the Savior and the Spirit, be with you today and always.
Thank you.
beloveds, go in peace to serve and love the Lord.
Thanks be to God.